Hello. Good morning, everybody. Like you said, my name is Grace Free Ward. I'm the Worship Arts Director here. Super excited to close out this series together as we kind of look at all these ideas of baggage and the things that weighed us down. But before we do that, I have to honor my parents today because it is their 45th wedding anniversary. So I want you guys to stand up. They're doing boxing punching at me. That's a big accomplishment. And so I just want to say thank you. You guys can have a seat. I know that is a big accomplishment. That's not everyone's story, but I'm grateful for the foundation and the love that you've given to me and the rest of our family. And so I think that is something worth celebrating today. And for some of you, 45-year commitment sounds like fear. So we're going to talk about fear this morning. That's my transition for us this service. But we're going to dive into this topic. I wonder how many of you remember in 2001, the reality television show that came onto the scene that was both intriguing and both horrifying at the exact same time. It was filled with dares and stunts meant to completely shock the participant and the viewer. And when it came out, it was first a Dutch show, and it was called Now or Neverland. That's a pretty cool title. When it came to the U.S., they rebranded it as Fear Factor. Now, how many of you remember Fear Factor? It was quite the show. It got people really thinking and considering what fears they may have and if they would be willing to face them for a grand prize of $50,000, okay? So here are some of the stunts that I remember. Don't worry, I'm not going to show you pictures because I thought I would lose half of you if I did that. But here were some of the things they did on the show. One, being submerged fully underwater while being chained and locked up, waiting for your team partner to find a key to unlock you. Yeah, no, never. How about being buried alive, like legitimately, for an extended period of time? Could not do that. How about they would have you lay in a tank full of live roaches or live maggots or live snakes? There's just no way I could do that. I just am freaking out thinking about it. How about the episode where they had you wear a plastic cone and you had to go and in a big box, they had live scorpions and you got to transfer, some of you remember the episode, transfer the live scorpions to another tank while they were all over your head. Like there is just no way I could do that. And let's just say lots of weird things to eat, sometimes dead or alive, involving bugs and animal parts. Okay, if you're really that interested, you can go watch all the recap stuff on YouTube. Like I said, the show was actually really intriguing, but it was also really horrifying because Fear Factor was one of those shows that came up in constant conversation over the 5 years that it aired. It got people really thinking about what their deepest fears were and if they would be willing to face them. At 20, I might have been willing to do a few of those things. Now, there's absolutely no way I would be willing to do anything that was on Fear Factor. If we're honest this morning, fear can play an incredible part in our lives and have great impact on us in negative ways. It can trigger very deep trauma for people. But it can also, the kind of fear we're going to talk about today, it can also keep you from fully living the life that God has intended you to live. It can hold you back. The definition of fear is simply this: it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Notice that it says it's a belief. Since it's a belief and it's an emotion, it doesn't mean it's always rational, right? It doesn't mean it's rooted in things that are always true. It can be irrational fears, but the reality is that we all have fears. And a lot of times, fear can be a good thing because it can warn us. It's an emotion that's been designed to warn us of danger or an unwanted circumstance. There are things we should be afraid of. That's called wisdom. But there are also things that we end up being afraid of that hold us back to what God has for us. a couple fears that I have, one of them probably unrealistic, but because I grew up watching a lot of Lifetime movies with my mom, I have the fear, like, I do not want my life story to end up in a Lifetime movie, because when that happens, usually something is going awry in your life, and I'm like, I do not want that to happen. That would be not a good way for me. But another fear that I have, which is, like, extremely, like, a trauma for me, is I have a deep fear of medicine, like, specifically like a shot or an IV, anything like that. I have a full-blown panic attack, and I'm a grown adult. But it's because when I was 7, I had a severe reaction at the hospital to something they gave me, and I went into anaphylactic shock, I almost died. And so now I have to face that fear. There are times where I have to get certain things done, and I'm like, okay, I can do this, I can face this, but I have to talk myself through it. There are a lot of common fears that people have. Maybe you identify with some of these. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of public speaking. Woo. Some people are afraid of storms. Good luck the next few days. Some people are afraid of change. How about some people being afraid of asking someone on a first date? That sounds scary, right? And then how about all the phobias? You have claustrophobia, fear of enclosed spaces. You got aerophobia, fear of flying. You got catoptrophobia, fear of mirrors. I did not know that was a fear, but I found a website that listed the top 50 phobias. And I will say this, if you've got a fear, they got a phobia for you. I promise. It's very, very interesting. But some of these fears can be very irrational, yet they're debilitating for us. And of course, there are things and coping mechanisms and maybe therapy or medication that you legitimately need to get to work through those things so it doesn't hold you back from living your life. But there are other fears that we just have to recognize may be a reality that we may have to face, like the potential of financial loss. It's fear for some people. How about the fear of you or someone you love getting an illness and having to suffer? How about the possibility of a tragic loss or sudden death? That's something that we can truly fear, but sometimes people have to face that. How about the fear of what the future may hold? The unknown, and that's what triggers a deep sense of fear within you. The reality is the list could go on, and today I do not want us to minimize the impact that fear can play in your life, because it can have serious, serious power. But it can also be tricky because it can be unhealthy and it can trap you into experience the best things that God has for you. So here's the question today. How do we discern between what is an irrational and irrational fear or an unhealthy or a healthy fear that may be keeping you from God's best in your life? I believe the scripture gives us really good guidance when we read Proverbs 9:10, a verse that maybe some of you know, but it says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One brings understanding. You see, this morning we have to recognize that wisdom in our life begins with a right relationship with God. This fear really means a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of recognition that God is God and you are not. Recognizing that someone else is overruling and reigning over everything and you are not. And how we view and see everything else in our lives will come from that lens and perspective if we want wisdom. You see, I believe this, that our perspective on life is set right with a healthy, holy fear. Our perspective on all of life is set right, is set focused, is set accurate when we have a healthy and a holy fear of what this life is really about. For us to discern, like I said, between the rational, irrational, the healthy, unhealthy, we need his wisdom to navigate life circumstances. We need his wisdom to know how to make the decisions and have the understanding that we need to take the right next steps. This past year, my mom decided that she wanted to buy one of those fancy bird feeders. You know, the one that the bird feeder has a camera on it. And so the idea is that it takes pictures of the birds that come, and then it sends a photo to your phone, and it tells you what bird is there. And it's like, oh, this is so cool. So she gets this, but instead of getting the legitimate bird buddy, she got the off-brand version, which basically meant she was getting pictures all the time sent to her phone, really blurry, really unclear, like, this is not that. Like, no, mom, that bird does not live in the U.S. It doesn't even migrate here. It's like from Japan. I promise that's not the bird here. And the day that it really kind of clicked for her is when it alerted her that she had a dodo bird at her feeder in Florence, South Carolina. I said, mom, this thing does not work. You're going to have to upgrade. So recently, in the last month or so, she's upgraded to the Bird Buddy. Now, let me tell you, the Bird Buddy sends great pictures. It sends accurate information. She's operating off correct information now because there's clarity on what bird is actually at her feeder. Isn't life like that sometimes, though? We have to have an accurate view, perspective, all of that, of who God really is in order for us to appropriately see everything else in life, in order for us to really understand how God wants us to navigate our lives. And today, we're going to look at fear and the baggage that fear can be in our lives. And the question we're going to ask is, how can we faithfully move forward in life without fear holding us back? And to do that, we're going to look at a character in the Bible, Joshua, the life of Joshua. So if you could turn to the book of Joshua, we're going to be back and forth in a few books, but Joshua 1:9 says this, and the Lord is speaking these words to him. It says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go." Now, for many people, this is the mantra, this is the theme verse when it comes to the life of Joshua. But I want us to take a step back and see some of the things in his life that got him to this point before the Lord spoke that over him. What all has happened to get him to this moment? How had he faced fear before? What is he facing now? You see, Joshua was a part of the Hebrew slaves who became the Israelites, who were led out of Egypt, rescued from the hand of Pharaoh, and led out by the leader Moses. Moses leads them out onto dry land through the Red Sea. They're traveling through the wilderness, and they get to the edge of the Promised Land. And it's at this point that Moses calls 12 leaders to go and scout out this land that God had promised would be theirs. He'd rescued them. They're right at it. Go out and see the land that God has for us. And out of the 12 leaders that Moses picked, Joshua was one of them. So the group goes out for 40 days. They come back. And in Numbers 13, verse 27, we're going to pick up the report that was given to Moses. Numbers 13, 27 says this. This was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak." Go down to verse 30. It says, "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let's go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.' But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. 'We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are.' So they spread this bad report." Remember that phrase. "They spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. 'The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. You see, some of these men came back, and what they had to say was, yes, the land was bountiful, the land was fruitful, just as God had said it would be, just as God has promised, but we can't go forward. God had delivered them from Egypt. Let's put this in perspective here. God had delivered them from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea on dry land, traveled up to the border of the Promised Land, and now they begin to question God's faithfulness? Now they begin to question God's provision? Now they begin to question God's promise? It's like they're basically saying to everyone, yes, God's been faithful, but the people are strong. God's been faithful, but the cities are large and fortified there. God's been faithful, but the people are giants. God's been faithful, but there's no more space in that land anyways. I mean, how often do we do that in our lives? We allow fear of what's ahead to hold us back by saying, God's been faithful, but fill in the blank. We like to put a big but in the middle of our own circumstances. God's been faithful, but we can't go forward. You see, your reasons to be afraid should never outweigh your reasons to trust God. Your reasons to be afraid should never outweigh your reasons to trust God. He's been faithful in the past. He will continue to be faithful in the future. And that doesn't mean that they weren't afraid or scared of what was to come, but they knew he was faithful. Notice what it says in verse 32 when it says, some of the men spread this bad report amongst the entire group of Israelites, which was a lot of people. It's the meaning behind this phrase, bad report, is that there was whispering. There was defamation. It was evil. It was an exaggerated report in order to bring fear among the people. Maybe they had like some modern day Facebook version to spread lots of exaggerated things to get the news out to everybody. They knew that this type of report would get the masses afraid and unwilling to move forward. Ultimately, doubting God and being disobedient to him. You see, fear tends to make itself bigger and more unrealistic in our minds. It can begin to crowd out our mind and heart over our trust in God. The magnitude of our fears is often an illusion based on the bad reports. Bad reports of other people, or the bad reports and the voices that we have in our own minds that tend to drown out the voice of God. Recently, I read a story that was fascinating about the Ghost Army of World War II. It was a secret project of around 1,100 soldiers, and they were the first mobile, multimedia, tactical deception unit in U.S. Army history. You can see some pictures here. Using inflatable tanks and vehicles, fake radio traffic, sound effects that were blasted through large speakers that they hauled everywhere they went, they were able to use imagination and illusion to trick the enemy into thinking they were a unit of 30,000 soldiers. 1,100 soldiers were able to create the illusion and the deception that they were 30,000 soldiers when the enemy would fly over them. And they set up deceptions all throughout Europe, deceiving the German army while saving thousands along the way. It's a fascinating story. Read more about it. But here's the thing. Too often, we let fear operate like a ghost army in our own minds, creating a false reality and illusion. The more we avoid certain things and don't face it, guess what? Sometimes they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we are fooled by the tactics of fear, the voices that begin to drown out the truth. Do not let the fear that's in our heart and mind create a false reality that's gonna keep you from God's best in your life. Don't live your life based on a bad report. Live your life based on a God report. God had already given a report about the land and what to do, but these men decided, no, we're going to spread the bad report and keep them from being faithful. when you read on in Numbers 14, verse 6, this is what it says, because two of them stand out in the group of 12. Verse 6 says, two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. You see, out of the 12 that went out, 10 were bad with the bad report, but two were good. Joshua and Caleb believed that what was before them was better than what was behind them. Joshua and Caleb believed that God had been faithful to this point, so he would continually be faithful and lead them forward. They knew that they had the choice to go backwards in fear or forwards in faith. You see, the truth is that fear holds us back. Fear holds you captive, but faith gives you courage. Fear holds you back in life, but faith actually gives you courage. And despite the courage, the boldness, and the willingness that we see in those verses from Joshua and Caleb, the Israelites as a whole were held back by fear and disbelief, so much so that the consequence was that they had to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. That entire generation of people would not see the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful voices of the 12. But an entire generation did not see the promised land. They went and they had to wander. I mean, this is crazy, right? They were right there. Can you imagine? They've lived in slavery for all those years. God delivered them, brought them to the edge of the promised land. They were right there at it, and God had promised to remain with them, but they could not take that step of faith and have the courage that God had asked them to. They allowed the bad report to keep them from moving forward. I mean, the hardest part seemed past them, but they allowed this to stand in the way. I love this quote that I read this week. It says, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. It's not that fear necessarily goes away. It's that we don't allow it to hold us captive and rob us of our future. Because fear can be a prison of the mind. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Inside Out, but they recently came out with a movie Inside Out 2, but it's an incredible movie. It's an animated movie about the emotions that are going on inside of the mind of a 13-year-old girl. I don't know why you want to get in there, but that's what the movie's about. So each character represents an emotion. So you have emotions like joy, anger, sadness, disgust, and fear. And now, in part two, a new emotion comes on the scene. And the emotion is anxiety. And one of the characters is explaining the difference between the two, and they said it this way. It says, fear protects you from what you can see. Anxiety protects you from what you can't see. And fear looks to anxiety and says, oh, we're going to be friends. You see, the movie shows us that this protection that anxiety tried to offer her only trapped her and robbed her of the joy in the life that she could be having. Anxiety tends to do this, doesn't it? I saw a meme this week that said, if anxiety was an Olympic sport, I'd have the gold medal. And maybe some of you feel that way this morning, but I love these verses here in 2 Timothy. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, oftentimes our fear is manifested in anxiety simply because we feel out of control of our circumstances about the future, and our brain starts to overanalyze and fix things and put things into place. And what ends up happening is it really wrecks us emotionally, and it wrecks the people around us. The consequences of living that way begin to overflow when we feel out of control. You see, fear holds you captive and wants to keep you that way. Anxiety wants to keep you locked in that way. But the faith that we are called to have as Christians calls us to move forward and have courage. The fascinating thing for Joshua, if you look through the rest of this book in Numbers, is that 40 years later, we still find him faithful. Even though he had the consequence of going into the wilderness with everybody else, though he had boldness and courage, he had plenty of reason to quit doubting, to quit trusting God and to begin doubting God, but he remained faithful. All the years of the wilderness wanderings, all the grumbling people, read the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy to see what I'm talking about. But now we come to the beginning of the book of Joshua. And this is how the book of Joshua starts. Joshua chapter 1 says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He got an upgrade. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses: wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you." Now here's the reality. Joshua has a new set of challenges and probably a new set of fears. He's having to follow the great leader Moses. Who wants to do that? The verse at the end of the book, right before this one, literally says this: "There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." End scene. Now enter Joshua. Who wants to follow that? There had to be possible anxiety that he was facing. Can you imagine he was afraid? Can you imagine that he felt inadequate? Yet, in the midst of those circumstances is when the Lord spoke that verse to him that we read earlier, Joshua 1:9. "This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, the courage to move forward is about who's with you more than what's before you. The courage to move forward is about who is with you more than what's before you. Joshua knew he had the promise of God. He knew that he was with him. And the reality is, when he took the people and led them to the Jordan River, he led them to cross over in faith, in courage, and in confidence. Not because there weren't scary things before them, but because he knew the Lord was going to be with them just as he had been in the past, just as he had been with them in the wilderness wanderings. He would be with them as they went forward. You see, today, as we look at fear and unpacking fear, what it's really about is it's about your future. Think about this story in terms of the Israelites who never got to see the promised land because of their fear and unbelief. Fear causes us to forfeit our future. Fear causes us to forfeit our future. We often ask the question, "What might it cost me if I do?" But we should be asking, "What might it cost me if I don't? What might it cost me if I don't?" So I ask you this morning, what is fear keeping you from? Who is fear keeping you from? What future is your fear keeping you from? What obedience is your fear keeping you from? Might there be a proverbial promised land on the other side of your fear? And maybe today is the day you ask God to give you courage, like we see in the life of Joshua. You see, this whole series has really been on looking at some deep issues when it comes to baggage, right? People are like, each week I'm just hit to the core. Because as we unpack things, we realize like, wow, that is something I'm dealing with and struggling with. And I was thinking about this series in terms of baggage and going on a trip. And I will say the most uneventful part of a trip is baggage claim, right? You sit there at the carousel, it just goes round and round and round. But it's also a nice time to check out other people's baggage. Am I right? You're like, "Oh, well, I like that color. I like that pattern. What name brand is that?" Okay. You just start noticing that. I remember the very first time I was going through an airport and I saw somebody pulling their suitcase on wheels. I was like, okay, that's fancy. I need to get me one of those. And then I remember a few years ago, I was going through the airport and I literally saw someone sitting on their suitcase and riding it like a scooter, electronic suitcase. They're real, they're very expensive. I was like, I need to get me one of those. That is nice. But we tend to do that in our life when it comes to our baggage too. We tend to think, oh man, that person, I mean, if I had their set of circumstances, I mean, if I had their family, if I had their troubles, my life would be way less complicated. If I had this set of issues to deal with, my life would be so much easier. And we tend to get baggage envy, especially in the church for some reason. And we like to look around and we wish that our story was really somebody else's story. But here is the reality. When you're waiting at baggage claim, there's a bag coming with your name on it. You can't take that person's bag, even though you think it looks better. There's a bag with your name on it. And the best thing you can do and the best thing I can do is to own the baggage that's yours. And with the grace and the love of God, unpack the things in your life that are not needed for the journey ahead. And step out in faith to be the person he's called you to be. I mean, we all have fear. We all have anxiety. That's a normal part, but how do we deal with it? I have my own set of struggles. I have my own set of things that I am afraid about. I remember, if I'm honest, that when I think I was 17, the very first time I led worship was in a Sunday school class back at the church I was at in Florence, and I thought I was gonna pass out in the bathroom. I mean, I'm like, I'm sweating, I got water, I'm putting water on my face. My friend's like, you can do it. I'm like, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. I still think I'm gonna pass out. And I remember, I was like, okay, but I feel like God wants me to do it. And I stepped forward and I did it, and that began to open doors for other opportunities. And I continued to try to be faithful with that. I remember the first time I had to teach the Bible in front of a group of people. I was probably 20 years old, and I was terrified. I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna put all this together. I gotta make sure I'm saying the right stuff. And I remember I just felt like it was what God wanted me to do. And so I was afraid, but God gave me the strength and the faith and the courage to step forward and still do it. And he's been faithful. I remember the first time Pastor Jeff asked me to preach in this room. It was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I think it'd be great. Just give you, I want you to do a message on the book of Ruth. And I remember the night before, I literally came up here Saturday night by myself, pacing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know how to do this. There's a lot of chairs in here. I think I'm going to be sick. Lord, if I end up getting sick tonight, you know, I won't be mad at you if you make me sick. It's totally fine. Like, should I call Pastor Jeff and tell him I'm not feeling well? I mean, I had all these things going on in my head, right? But I was obedient, and I had courage, and I did it, and I did it afraid. And God's continued to open doors of faithfulness in my life. I remember in the past 3 years when Pastor Jeff's been talking to me about pursuing ordination and my title changing to be a pastoral title instead of just director title. And I'm like, I don't know. That's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of things about pursuing ordination, a lot of pressures that go with that. And that's the journey I'm currently on. But I'm trying to be faithful because I know that the God who's been faithful in the past will be the God who's continually faithful in the future. And for all of us as Christians today, we can trust that. I love the verse in 1 John that says this. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with what? Confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. I love those verses. Perfect love expels all fear. We're able to face whatever this life may bring. It will cast out our fear when we're found in the love of God, and we'll have the courage to face whatever earthly fear may come our way because we know that this is not the end. Back in 2009, for Christmas, my granny and papa gave us, all the grandkids, a picture. And I'm going to put it on the screen for us, and this is the picture here. All the grandkids got this picture, and it was really awesome. And it was like, oh, it's sweet. It was framed. It was really nice. And we took everybody, you know, there's 9 grandkids. We all took it home and put it up and in our own houses. And about 8 or 9 years after this, when they gave it to us, it was hanging up somewhere. I was doing some cleaning and moving some things. So I took it out of the frame for the first time. And when I took it out of the frame for the first time, I was shook to my core because I realized that she had written a note on the back. And she was still living at this point when I found this and was very healthy and doing great. My grandfather had passed away. But this is what this note says. It says, "We love you and God does too. When you read this sometime in the future, we will have gone to be with Jesus. Hope to see you there." I thought to myself, I wept when I found that. I thought to myself, what kind of faith does it take to be able to write something like that years before their earthly journey actually ended, but with the confidence that, hey, no matter what this world brings, no matter what my journey has before, no matter what may come my way, no matter the suffering or the difficulty or illness that I may face, all my future is secure. And I'm gonna be there one day. This was someone who knew how to face their fears. And that is one of the greatest testaments that she has left behind to me. She passed away in December. And when she passed away, I remember just being so overwhelmed. I had that picture beside my bed. And I remember thinking to myself, now she has stepped into the final promised land. That's someone that has lived their life with faith and a security. No matter what life brings, God has her future set. Friends, I don't know what each one of us has in our lives. Every single one of us are gonna have things we're gonna face in our earthly journey. Some of them harder than others. Some of them filled with suffering and disappointment and people not forgiving you. Think of all the things we've dealt with in this series. All of those things are a reality, I understand. But the truth for each one of us is that our journey on this earth will end. It will end. And we can choose to be the kind of people who live our lives now in faith and in courage, moving forward in boldness, because we know that Jesus Christ has conquered death, which means we can face anything the world throws our way. As we come to the communion table this morning, we celebrate that Jesus gave himself for each one of us. And we believe that he is the life and the resurrection, and there's nothing we can't face with the confidence because we know we will see him face to face. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you have given yourself for us. And as we come today and as we remember that you gave yourself, may we today find anew a strength to be found in you, to be able to face whatever this life brings, knowing that we can stand before you in confidence face to face, because that is our future. We pray this in the holy and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.